Well, I won't back down. No, I won't back down. You can stand.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn, direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. As always, I strongly encourage everyone on the Devil Radio website and download our app. Go to the Apple and Google stores, download our app, take Devil Radio with you 24/7 wherever you go. While you're at it, click on the link that says Support Devil Radio. A lot of you asked that we put it on there. We did put it on there. Gives you a lot of different ways you can support Devil Radio. And you know, more than 80 right-wing broadcasts go out every day in Wisconsin, peddling the big lie, attacking our democracy, attacking the veracity of our elections, pushing the Trump agenda. And the strongest, clearest, and toughest voice against that is Devil Radio. So thank you very much. Well, a piece of good news, and this is going to be some fascinating reporting. An appeals court just ruled unanimously. There are three judges normally that sit on an appeals court on any given case. Something like, for instance, the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals in Chicago, where I clerked for Judge Thomas Fairchild, one of the great judges in Wisconsin history, appointed to the Court of Appeals and the court in Chicago. That has many different judges, and what they do is they just randomly assign three at a time to a case, and that's the panel, they call it. So this panel, now you can have everybody on it hear it if you bring a motion on, for a hearing on bank, E-N-B-A-N-C, old-fashioned word, and you might have 12 judges, 14, however many there are in the whole court. That's rare, very rare. This particular one, three judges, made a ruling that's very important. Just came out. They ruled that some of the redacted portions of the Mueller report must be released publicly to the press. That portions that were redacted of the Mueller report must be released publicly to the press. Which ones? When the Mueller report was made public, it had a lot of what are called redactions. Somebody took a black magic marker and just crossed stuff out. And you tried to read the tea leaves. It's like Swiss cheese, the whole thing. It was like paper dolls. You know, you cut the here and you cut there. They're saying, no, baloney. You've got to unredact portions of it. And here's what it comes down to. Mueller had redacted, had blacked out the names and descriptions of people that he investigated but didn't criminally charge. And so the appeals court in chambers, they call it, in other words, in their offices, read the whole thing, unredacted, and then met and decided that some of that information should be unredacted, should be unblacked out, should be able to be read. But which ones? And the names of people who were investigated but not charged, as long as they were public figures. Well, what public figure? What is a public figure, and what public figures are going to be revealed? It's widely speculated that Don Trump Jr. was investigated for possible criminal prosecution. He should have been prosecuted. Why do I say that? Because the CIA was sitting around. The CIA taps every conversation into the Russian embassy in Washington and other enemy embassies, and they should. And any phone call that's made out of the American embassy in Moscow, and I've been in the American embassy in Moscow, is tapped as well. That's why there are certain secure transmissions. If an ambassador wants to talk to the president or the secretary of state privately, there's a way to do it. But they didn't, they were not tapping the Trump campaign. They were tapping the Ruskies. And suddenly they hear a voice with perfect English. And they go, wow, that sounds familiar, that voice. It turned out it was Don Trump Jr. And he was dealing with the Ruskies, saying, don't worry about Obama's sanctions for the bad stuff you did on Crimea and hacking into the campaign and all that, whatever they talked about. Because my father gets in, he's going to yank all that. You're cool. Tell Putin, please, please, you're cool. Well, that will be revealed. Why is Don Trump Jr. a public figure? Public figure is a term of art of speech that comes out of libel law, defamation law. What is defamation? Defamation is the umbrella tort that includes libel and slander. Libel is defamation and slander is defamation. Libel is written defamation, slander is verbal defamation. If you lie about somebody verbally and say they have a felony conviction and they don't, you slandered them. If you put that in writing, you've libeled them. There's one exception to that, and that is anything you say verbally on TV or radio is libel because of the white audience. Libel has certain additional damages aspects that make it more dangerous for a defendant. I don't want to get into all that, but the point is, under the Sullivan case in the 1960s, the Supreme Court ruled that if you're a public figure, you can't sue a newspaper for libel, even if they publish something untrue about you, unless you prove they did it with malice. And malice isn't what you think it is. It isn't that the nasty, snarky thing. Malice means they did it knowing it was false, or so reckless that they should have known it was false. But if they didn't know it was false and they weren't reckless, you can't get them. Well, Don Trump Jr. is a public figure because he's in the news all the time. The theory is, if you're a public figure, you have ways of responding publicly, it'll be covered. For instance, if they reveal that he was interrogated, it turns out they're wrong, he wasn't, he has ways of redressing that. He can hold a press conference. People will show up. He'll say they have the wrong guy. Now, that isn't the case here, of course. So any elected official is automatically a public figure. You know, heads of businesses who are prominent in the community are. It's a sort of a sliding test, but you know who a public figure is. Are they famous? Are they commented a lot in the news? That's, you know, basically what a lot of it is. Well, in addition to Don Trump Jr., it turns out that there are going to be a number of Trump aides in the 2016 campaign who were involved in this skullduggery. And even though they didn't get criminally prosecuted, people can make up their own minds as to whether they should have been criminally prosecuted. BuzzFeed brought this case. BuzzFeed is very pleased. Thank the court. And you can expect to see Don Trump Jr. and the investigative references to him in the Mueller report at some point fairly soon. They're going to try to appeal this to the U.S. Supreme Court. The U.S. Supreme Court on a lot of this stuff has just got to deny review. They get 10,000 or more petitions a year. They grant, what, 200? Maybe not even that. Instead of hacking around and keeping it under advisement and tying it up, just get rid of it. Just get rid of it. Say, nah, we're not going to deal with it, so why should we hang around for a year? But you will see Trump Jr.'s name surface, and you will see other Trump aides from the 2016 campaign. They may be people who surprise you, and they were up to their crafty ways, sliding through alleys with a knife in their sleeve, and we'll see exactly what they did. Exactly what they did. So good decision, very good decision from the Court of Appeals. The state of Georgia has just proven in conduct what everybody feared about restrictive voting laws. In March, Georgia put in one of the most restrictive voting laws in the country. There were elections this fall in Georgia. And 52%, more than half of the Georgia absentee ballots were thrown out because they were non-compliant under this new law. Now, why is that? It used to be that under Georgia law, if you wanted an absentee ballot, you could go down, say, to a clerk's office. And as long as you went up to 4 days before the election, so the fourth day before the election was Tuesday, you went the middle of the previous week, they give you an absentee ballot. And you fill it out and you cast it and you're golden. They changed that to 11 days, which really comes down with weekends and everything to about 2 weeks or more. Most people didn't know it. The people who do GOTV, because there were no cases, no elections on the ballot that people were got national press out of, didn't let folks know. And many of them just went down thinking they'd get an absentee ballot and they cast it and it was thrown out because it was requested within the 11 days. So by going to 4 to 11, you might think, well, that's not a lot. It really is. A lot of people don't make up their minds to vote absentee until closer to the election. And they'll extend it next time to a month. And very few people think of voting or plan on it that far out. That's what's going on here. They want to limit absentee voting. 1.3 million voters used it in 2020. That's what got the state for Biden, for Warnock, and for Ossoff. That's what flipped the Senate, two Senate seats out of Georgia. Nobody expected. I mean, you're talking Georgia. Nobody expected that the presidential candidate of the Democratic Party and two Democratic Senate candidates were all going to get elected. And 1.3 million people used absentee voting. Under this new law, basically 2 weeks, because remember something, 2 weeks, 2 weeks before an election, how many people, first of all, if they're used to going there just a couple of days before, are going to go get an absentee ballot? Secondly, a lot of people haven't thought about it. They haven't thought about it. They go, well, you know, I'll get to that. I'll get to that. And by the time they get to it, it is too late. The other thing Georgia did is they eliminated mobile voting units in a lot of areas. You know, they're mobile voting units. They go around and, you know, there's certified clerks there. It's all in the up and up. But these are folks, if you're a single mom with two kids and no child care, you can't get away to the polls. You go out to the van and you vote. They got rid of those because they don't want single moms with two kids voting. They also severely restricted drop boxes, severely restricted drop boxes. So if you want to go to a drop box, it's sort of like Arizona. Some drop boxes are 40 miles away from the Navajo reservation, and they call it ballot harvesting. If somebody on the reservation goes door to door and says, anybody have any mail this week? And they do it all the time for bills and birthday cards. Okay, a ballot, that's ballot harvesting. So you want an old Indian woman to what, buy a car? Drive 40 miles. This stuff's going on. This stuff is going on. And in Georgia, 52% just now of the absentee ballots got thrown out. Going to a break. The lines are alive. I will take you in order. I will get to everybody on the line. Do not hang up. We're going to a quick break. The lines are still open. 844-967-2789. I'll be back right after the break.
Will stand my ground. And I won't back down. No, I won't back down.